DR Power Equipment is the industry leader in field and brush mowers. Their full line of machines are designed to clear acres of tough weeds, woody brush, and saplings up to 3 inches thick, hour after hour, year after year. Just one mow, and you'll agree nothing stops at DR. Visit drpower.com to learn more and shop the sale today.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Yesterday, the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu addressed the US Congress as he continued to make the case for Israel's war in Gaza, despite global concerns for the Palestinian population. His address came on the same day that Joe Biden delivered a speech from the Oval Office detailing why he had stepped away from the presidential race.
My fellow Americans, it's been the privilege of my life to serve this nation for over 50 years. Nowhere else on earth could a kid with a stutter from modest beginnings in Scranton, Pennsylvania, Claymont, Delaware, one day sit behind the resolute desk in the Oval Office as President of the United States. But here I am. That's what's so special about America. We're a nation of promise and possibilities, of dreamers and doers, of ordinary Americans doing extraordinary things. I've given my heart and my soul to our nation, like so many others. I've been blessed a million times in return with the love and support of the American people. I hope you have some idea how grateful I am to all of you. The great thing about America is here, kings and dictators do not rule. The people do. History is in your hands. The power is in your hands. The idea of America lies in your hands. You just have to keep faith. Keep the faith. And remember who we are. We're the United States of America. And there's simply nothing beyond our capacity when we do it together. So let's act together. Preserve our democracy. God bless you all. And may God protect our troops. Thank you.
And that was Joe Biden speaking from the Oval Office, explaining why he was stepping down, passing the torch to a younger generation. And a speech very different in tone to that bellicose offering from Benjamin Netanyahu to a joint sitting of the Houses of Congress, which was greeted with standing ovations, whistling and cheering as he took aim at the protesters who were outside.
For all we know, Iran is funding the anti-Israel protests that are going on right now outside this building. Not that many, but they're there. And throughout the city. Well, I have a message for these protesters. When the tyrants of Tehran, who hang gays from cranes and murder women for not covering their hair, are praising, promoting, and funding you, some of these protesters hold up signs proclaiming gays for Gaza. They might as well hold up signs saying chickens for KFC. These protesters chant from the river to the sea, but many don't have a clue what river and what sea they're talking about. They not only get an F in geography, they get an F in history. They call Israel a colonialist state. Don't they know that the land of Israel is where Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob prayed, where Isaiah and Jeremiah preached, and where David and Solomon ruled? For nearly 4,000 years, the land of Israel has been the homeland of the Jewish people. It's always been our home. It will always be our home.
And that's Benjamin Netanyahu addressing a joint sitting of the Houses of Congress in Washington yesterday. Joining me now to talk about this is Fawaz Gurgis, Professor of International Relations at the London School of Economics and Political Science. Fawaz, good morning.
Good morning to you.
What did you make of his speech?
Well, I did not really make much of it at all because Benjamin Netanyahu never surprises anyone. This was a red meat speech designed for his audience at home, a country deeply divided, and millions of Israelis want him to go today, not tomorrow. He's playing for time. It was a manipulative speech. The most important point in the speech, two words, total victory. The fact is, he does not really want to end the war in Gaza. He does not really believe in any Palestinian authority in Gaza. He never mentioned anything about a Palestinian state. He criminalized protesters, not just in the United States and the world. We're all protesters who protest the bloodletting in Gaza are being paid an agent of Iran. Iran is the enemy. Israel is defending the United States in the Middle East, not the other way around. It's the barbarian versus civilization. Israel is civilization, light, good versus evil, the Palestinians, obviously. What do I tell you? I mean, I think on a personal level, it was a very, very painful speech to watch. Not because it was manipulative and full of falsehood, because it reminded me that myself as a scholar of the Middle East and the United States, it reminded me of the parliament under Saddam Hussein. This was the U.S. Congress, the home of the American people. 50 standing ovation. The speech as Bernie Sanders, a U.S. senator from Vermont and a former presidential candidate, he said, "It's the first time in American history where a war criminal was given the honor to basically address the home of the American people."
It was quite extraordinary looking at the aftermath of the speech. He was surrounded by the likes of people like Ted Cruz going up to shake his hand. Another congresswoman, I'm not sure who she was, organizes for a photographer to come up so she can get a two-shot of herself and Benjamin Netanyahu. It was sycophantic in the extreme. And I wondered how come such a huge number of American parliamentarians can go along with what Israel is doing in Gaza. It's just baffling.
I mean, it really is baffling. I mean, it was very painful to watch, not Benjamin Netanyahu. Benjamin Netanyahu had basically an audience in mind, had a message. But it was terribly, dishonorable of congressmen who basically should know better. I mean, the applause, the screaming, the shouting, the standing ovations, and knowing full well that he is an alleged war criminal. And it tells you a great deal about the polarization in the United States. Almost 100 congressmen, Democrats, did not attend, including the Harris, who is now supposedly will be the Democratic presidential candidate.
Now, whether that was a deliberate snub or not, it was a convenience because she had another engagement where she was addressing. She's on the campaign trail, but she will meet him before the end of the week.
Today, she and Biden will be meeting Benjamin Netanyahu. And I think what Harris is trying to do is to really balance basically her position, because her base, as you know, is center-left. And his base is very critical of Benjamin Netanyahu in particular. And at the same time reiterates his support for the United States, because it doesn't matter who's the president. You have a political system. I mean, you've seen it. As one congressman, Ruskin, a very popular Democratic congressman, he said, "Benjamin Netanyahu's speech should have been given in the Republican National Convention." This was really red meat, pure red meat for the Republicans.
Now, he also told barefaced lies, or that is how the commentariat are viewing it. He said, "The prosecutor of the International Criminal Court has shamefully accused Israel of deliberately starving the people of Gaza. This is utter, complete nonsense. It's a complete fabrication. Israel has enabled more than 40,000 aid trucks to enter Gaza. That's 500,000 tons of food." He's saying, no problem. The population are doing fine. Thank you very much.
Well, I mean, I think I said, where do you spot, how do you deconstruct the speech? How do you really basically vet the speech? We know what the United Nations, multiple officials of the United Nations have made it very clear that Israel has used starvation as a weapon of war. Multiple United Nations officials have made it very clear that famine now is in many parts of Gaza. multiple United Nations officials have made it very clear that Israel not only not allowing food and goods to enter Gaza, but basically hampering the entry of food and goods into Gaza. I mean, and also I think what we need to understand, he really zeroed in on the International Criminal Court and the likelihood of a arrest warrant for Netanyahu, because he's terrified. And he says, today is me and then you, pointing, you know, to the Republicans, the United States next. So in a way, I mean, also using biblical lies in order to justify Israeli colonialism of Palestinian lands. Again, the reason why this is really for the Republican audience, because it addresses their ideological connections and links with Benjamin Netanyahu and the right-wing elements in Israel. And I think you cannot really understand the invitation to Benjamin Netanyahu by the Republican leadership of the U.S. Congress, except by what you have evangelical, the evangelical power center in the United States is very, very important. And this is really why the red meat nature Benjamin Netanyahu speech.
I was reading a piece from a correspondent on CNN overnight who's referring to a meeting, the first meeting between President Bill Clinton and Netanyahu in 1996. And he told his aides, who's the effing superpower here? In other words, the attitude of Netanyahu was so superior to the American president. And that came across really strongly, that this man is incredibly arrogant and incredibly ostensibly secure in his own rectitude.
I mean, look at him. Just you look at him last night, the way he was talking, the arrogance, the lies, this kind of really knowing it all. Benjamin Netanyahu has been cited multiple times secretly. He says, we know the American political system. Don't worry. We know how to basically manipulate the system. Don't worry about America. We know America. Point one. Benjamin Netanyahu, Pat, he humiliated President Barack Obama twice in the Oval Office, publicly in front of the American people, twice. And yet Barack Obama did not dare to respond to him on public television in the Oval Office while Benjamin Netanyahu lectured the American president. And guess what, Pat? When Barack Obama left the White House, he signed one of the biggest military aid package to Israel, $35 billion over 15 years. What does it tell you? I mean, to me as an American, when I look at the Congress, the home of the American people, they're dishonoring, the Congress dishonored millions of Americans by bringing an alleged war criminal to address the U.S. Congress. And I don't think they care. They really don't care. It tells you a great deal what's happening. And this is more about America than Benjamin Netanyahu and how the political class has become deaf and blind to the reality all we're talking about. They just don't care. They don't listen. They don't really, it doesn't matter. They'll do what they want to do.
Now, in his speech, no mention of the potential for a ceasefire?
Whatsoever. In fact, total victory. And then the audience stood up and cheered. What really beyond the rhetoric, beyond the red meat, what we know, no ceasefire, total victory, no Palestinian authority in Gaza, no Palestinian state, and rejecting all of Biden's basically vision for the Middle East, normalization with Saudi Arabia for in return for a Palestinian state. And this tells you, your question earlier, this speaks about the arrogance of Benjamin Netanyahu. He doesn't care. Now he wants his friend, Donald Trump, whom he will see on Friday, to really recapture the White House, because we know Donald Trump will give Benjamin Netanyahu a green light to do whatever he wants. And that's why Benjamin Netanyahu and his extremist coalition members are really basically hoping and praying that Donald Trump will likely recapture the White House in November.
Some of the texts coming in, what a despicable person. Everyone knows he spoke so many lies. How embarrassing for the American people. They clapped and cheered. They are disgraceful sheep. What does it tell us about America, says another one. But someone harking back to October the 7th, what about the screaming hostages that were taken by Hamas on October the 7th? Was it right for Hamas to invade Israel and kill innocent civilians? Of course not. For Netanyahu to cite a 3,000-year-old book as a source for his claim to the rightful ownership of Palestine is just crazy. To use that logic, the Native Americans have more claim to the U.S. than the present population. And I've often made that remark about the Native Americans and what the white man did to those Native Americans, effectively ethnic cleansing. Oh my God, he's another dictator more interested in war than peace. It was painful to watch while children are being killed in Gaza. As human beings, we've condemned what Hamas did on October the 7th, but we can't stand by and watch the genocide being perpetrated on the innocent people of Gaza. Watching in disbelief, Netanyahu was like Hitler giving his Reichstag speech. I felt sick to my stomach. Shame on America for allowing this. I'm sure they will regret it when the truth comes to light. It's clear the hold that the Zionists have on the Senate. That's from Jay in Cork. I mean, it probably was, for all sorts of reasons, a huge mistake to allow Netanyahu to address the joint sitting.
Oh, absolutely. This is the fourth time that Benjamin Netanyahu addresses the U.S. Congress. And he brags and boasts that he addressed the U.S. Congress more than Winston Churchill. He compares himself to Winston Churchill. And more importantly, he got more standing ovation. But again, I mean, it's amazing the blindness of the Congress and the leadership of the Republican Party. And this is why if Donald Trump wins the elections, the November election, imagine what the state of the world will be. Not just, I mean, my take on it, Pat, I fear that if Donald Trump wins the elections, we are more likely to see a wider war in the Middle East involving the United States and Israel against Iran. This is for sure. Trump has made it very clear, not to mention the potential for a great war between the United States and China. So even though we're talking about Gaza and we should be talking about Gaza and highlight the tragedy and the suffering and the loss and the pain and the hunger, but really where the United States is today, basically worries me a great deal, not just about what's happening in Gaza, but about the world as a whole.
Finally, I should ask you about the deal that was signed, I think it was in China, by Hamas and Fatah, that they would actually unite to form a joint administration. What did you make of that?
Well, what do I make of that? We've seen many statements like this, Pat. I don't believe it till I see it. The Palestinian leadership, Mahmoud Abbas and his Fatah allies and basically Hamas and other elements have failed the Palestinian people. Basically, they really prioritize and privilege their sectarian interest over the interest of the Palestinian people. They have given Netanyahu and his extremist allies a justification to say, we don't have a partner on the Palestinian side. So even though it was signed and celebrated, I don't believe it will be basically respected by the Palestinian authorities, because Mahmoud Abbas does not really want Hamas to be part of any deal. In fact, Mahmoud Abbas would like Hamas to disappear, not only from Gaza, but from the Palestinian territories as a whole. That's why I hope I am wrong, but I don't really have any particular faith in the current Palestinian leadership to stand up and take this particular historical moment and really address the legitimate and horrible conditions under which the Palestinian people live now in the West Bank and East Jerusalem and Gaza.
Fawaz, thank you very much for joining us. That's Fawaz Gerges, Professor of International Relations at the London School of Economics and Political Science.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.
For almost 40 years, DR Power Equipment has been the go-to for homeowners who want professional-level outdoor power equipment. Whether you're managing acres of overgrown fields or just want to have the best lawn on the block, DR Power has everything you need to conquer your piece of the outdoors. Visit drpower.com today to learn more and shop the sale.